Last fall, we began a sermon series based on the Psalms, and we've returned to it from time to time. And I don't know how many of the 150 Psalms we will actually get to, but so far we've been through the first 10. And today we come to Psalm 11, and we're going to be in this series for a few weeks. You'll find Psalm 11 printed for you on the back page of the bulletin. And I encourage you to follow along. David is listed as the author of Psalm 11. We do not know when he wrote it. We do not know why he wrote it. What was going on in his very colorful life at the time he wrote it. What we do know is that someone had his ear and someone was saying to him, flee, run, hide. All of that begins in the second half of the first verse, which is where I'll start reading. Flee like a bird to your mountain, David. For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Somebody had David's ear, and they were saying, run, escape, hide, flee. And we can identify with that because there are times in our lives when we want to do exactly that. A crisis comes along. A crisis settles in. It overwhelms our life. It's obviously not going to go away. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just run and hide? As a child, that was one of your favorite things to do. Hide and seek, remember? I assume that you're not playing that anymore. Your grandchildren, okay. I have a cat named Marty. Whenever the doorbell rings, Marty wakes up from his nap on the sofa, jumps on the floor, and his little legs just scurry as he runs to hide. It frightens him. One day, our caregiver, Lois Calzone, brought her dog, Katie, to our house for the day. I have never seen Marty move so fast. Those little legs just scurried and scurried, and we did not see him all day. There was no food, there was no water, there was no litter box. He just was getting away from that scary dog, and he hid under the bed. That's his favorite hiding place. You and I have animal instincts too. And we sometimes like to run away and hide. And it's even more tempting to do that when other people are giving you permission, which is what people were doing with David. Now, I have to say this. There are some people who are just like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And you know what? People with that tendency in their personality tend to feed on each other, don't they? They give each other permission to panic. But not David. He starts Psalm 11 with a response to the Chicken Littles. Here's what he said. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, run and hide? David's preaching. Let's listen to his sermon. He's saying that sometimes the greatest thing that you and I can do is to stay put and, if necessary, fight. But he's saying something else. He's also saying to us, flee. That's right, flee. But flee to the Lord, not from your problems. He is your refuge. Psalm 46, 1 through 2. God is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. If you look for the word refuge in the Bible, you will find it there 297 times. What is a refuge? It's a safe harbor. It's a sanctuary. It's an ultimate hiding place Martin Luther would put it this way, a mighty fortress is our God. He is our refuge. Have you ever seen the stage musical Oklahoma? It begins with one of the most beautiful, happiest sunrises you can possibly see when Curly comes out and he sings, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. And I think that is the way we tend to define happiness. When everything's going my way, I'm happy. But what about those times when the morning's not so beautiful? What about those times when things are not always going your way? Here's God's answer. Psalm 2, verse 12. By the way, if you were here for our sermon series, we have dealt with this. Psalm 2. I'm sure you remember it well. It says, blessed or happy are all who take refuge in God, whether it's a beautiful morning or not. Now, did you notice this? The first thing that David's advisors said to him was, flee like a bird to your mountain. To your mountain. What were they talking about? What's this your mountain thing? They're not talking about the Temple Mount. Because the Temple Mount, the first temple, had not yet been built. That was left to Solomon, David's son. Perhaps David had a special hiding place that he liked to go to. Perhaps he had a hillside somewhere in Bethlehem or the hillsides of Jerusalem where he would retreat and be with God, and people knew that he liked to withdraw there. If this were my cat, Marty, I'd say, run and hide under the bed. If this were a shopaholic, I might say, run to the mall and buy yourself something to make yourself feel better. If this were a drinker, I might say, run to your liquor cabinet and get out another bottle. If this were a traveler, I might say, yeah, get on an airplane and go explore some other part of the world. If this were a foodie, I might say, go to your favorite restaurant and order the thing you order all the time, every time you go there. Where do you go for refuge? Where do you go when you need to get off this carousel? Where do you go when you need to be cheered up? Here's David's advice. He said, run to God. Run to God. Okay, but where is he? Psalm 11, our psalm for today, verse 4. David said, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Now think about that for a moment. The temple has not yet been built. So what was he talking about when he said God's holy temple? Again, since the first temple had not been built, David had to tell us what he meant in the second phrase. It's called the Hebrew literary parallelism, where the second phrase says the same thing as the first phrase, just in a different way. The prevalent theology of that day was that God dwelt in the tabernacle. That was just a tent. And David explained, he said, in the next phrase, he said, the Lord is on his heavenly throne. Now, the Hebrew word for temple is palace. The people understood the concept of a palace. They understood the concept of a king. They understood the concept of a king's throne. But David said, look higher than that. Look to the heavens above. And beyond the heavens above. And to the heavens all around you. God is bigger than a tent. God is bigger than a palace. God is so big that he resides in the heavens. How big is your God? When you do not have such a beautiful morning, when you do not have such a beautiful day, and you take refuge to God, How big is he to you? David would say that you can have full confidence in God. I love this quote. It's from Rowland Prothero, and he was a minister's son. And he wrote a book called The Psalms in Human Life. Listen, the book of Psalms contains the whole music of the heart of man, swept like a harp by the hand of the master. In it are gathered the lyrical bursts of his tenderness, the moan of his penitence, the pathos of his sorrow, the triumph of his victory, the despair of his defeat, the rapture of his assured hope, and the firmness of his confidence. Psalm 11, David embodied the firmness of his confidence in Almighty God. Listen to all of verse 4 from Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. Brothers and sisters, God is active in your life. He is viewing you. He is doing more than that. He is examining you. He goes deeply inside of you, and he can see what you and I cannot see in one another. How comforting is that? How unsettling is that? But listen further to Psalm 11. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. Not only is God viewing us, not only is God examining us, but he's looking at other people too, all around us, the good, the bad, the ugly. And he's examining them too. And someone put it this way: God's got your back. I like that. That's a phrase that comes from old TV shows and old movies. And you know what? I looked up the phrase on the internet in what's called the Urban Dictionary. What does it mean? And I just love what they wrote. And when I read this, I can't help but think about God. Listen, when someone has your back, they are there to support you unconditionally. When life seems to blindside you with undesirable events, they are there for you without complaint, supporting you in your moments of need, not for their own selfish, self-gratifying reasons, but because your well-being to them is foremost in their mind and in their heart. Someone that has your back recognizes the goodness, even the greatness in you, especially during the moments that you were not willing or able to see it. Simply stated, when someone has your back, your life is greatly enhanced. God has your back. He supports you unconditionally. He supports you in your moment of need, whatever it is. Your well-being is foremost in his mind and in his heart. Simply stated, when you have God on your side, your life is greatly enhanced. He is your perfect hiding place. He is your greatest refuge. How could you possibly listen to the Chicken Littles who tell you to run and hide? Oh, of course, there's a powerful temptation to do that when the problems you face hit you squarely in the face. One of the reasons that, while we know God is our refuge, one of the reasons that we have a problem is that we often do not have enough faith to act on it. And the culprit for that could be irrational fear. Not just fear, but irrational fear. I suspect almost all of you, probably all of you, at one time or another have driven across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. It is an awesome bridge. For some, it is a marvel. For some people, it is a nightmare. They are paralyzed by that bridge with fear. And it may be because they can see through some of the railings down below. And it may be the cold, dark water that they see below. It may be because at its highest point, it is 186 feet high, and they're afraid of heights. It may be that for about 4 miles, you cannot see to the other end. The Bay Bridge is listed by Travel and Leisure magazine as the ninth scariest bridges in the country. You can actually pay a driver at one end of the bridge to drive you across to the other side of the bridge, and it's surprising how many people take advantage of that. Running to God as your refuge can be as daunting as driving over the Bay Bridge. You cannot see the other side. Your eyes are on the cold, dark water beneath you, threatening you. You've given your life over to fear. Even though there are other drivers there called brothers and sisters who are willing to help you get to the other side. And when you get there, you discover something wonderful. You discover the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne, waiting for you patiently with His arms open wide. Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence His soul hates. On the wicked He will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see His face. God is going to take care of you. God is also going to take care of the mess in this world. When you flee to God, He will welcome you with arms open wide, and you will see His face, as Lisa Schwab is seeing right now. And I can just see Lisa smiling, and I can see God smiling back to her. And I can hear Lisa saying, "Thank you for listening to me all these years, 90 plus years. And I can hear God saying, "Lisa, I'm on my heavenly throne. I'm here for you." As this world gets darker and darker and more evil, the gift of God's presence is one of the most precious gifts we have. Upright men and women will see His face and be set free. Let me remind you of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I love what Stephen Adams did with that scripture. He wrote a song. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. And as New Testament Christians, you are the holy temple of God. And He's there with you. You don't have to cross a scary bridge to get to Him. He's right there. Right where you are. Right now. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your abundant love and Your eternal grace. And Lord, as we approach Your table, may we approach You hand in hand. May You feel our touch of love. And may we feel Your touch of love. In Jesus' name, amen.